Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presents a message for your life. Get ready and take notes, because God wants to speak to you today. And now, Pastor David Rodriguez.
A case of Coke, and I'm talking to smaller cans. Over in Puerto Rico, they have the 12-ounce can, but they also have like 10-ounce smaller can. A case of that is $16. You want Coke, you want water, you want turkey, you pay for it. Wow, it's amazing, right? But that's the kind of Thanksgiving we think about, you know, wherever you are, or whatever it is, and you're here, and you think of all this abundant thing, and this is great, and this is awesome. But sometimes the abundance creates lack of gratefulness, and that's what we're going to be careful with. Now, there's a classic passage in the Bible of 10 guys who were healed, and only one came back and said thank you, right? You remember that? Let's go read it in Luke chapter 17, verse 12 to 19. Oh, we can start at 11. Verse 11, it's okay. It's just the introduction. While he was on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee, and he entered a village. And as he entered the village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him. And they raised their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Stand up and go. Your faith has made you well." What a wonderful thing it is. That's the gratefulness. When you are thankful, God shows himself powerful in your life. That should have been one of the points, and I didn't, because I just came up with that. When you show yourself grateful, the power of God manifests itself. Think about that. And, you know, this is probably one of the most popular passages in churches during Thanksgiving. I don't remember when was the last time I preached on this passage. Who knows when? I don't know. But I was looking through the Thanksgiving sermons that I've done in the past few years, and I couldn't find this one. I'm like, I don't remember the last time I preached that. I've used it as illustration many times, maybe, but I don't remember preaching it a long time ago. But I want you to think about this. This is a Samaritan that returned. A Samaritan was considered a what? A dog to the Jews. And I was just telling the youth this Friday night that the word dog in the Bible is the worst insult you can tell someone. And then Jesus went out to say fox, and fox is related to a dog. That's even worse. But dog is an insult. It's like what we would consider a curse word in our language, but it's not cursing. It's just a really bad word. It's a total insult. But that's the way they considered Samaritans. And Jesus is saying, here's this one whom everybody considers a dog in society, and he comes back and he is thankful. So this is amazing. What happened to the other 9? And we know the story. We've heard it before. But I want you to think of the leprous guys. Okay, let's think about these guys, first of all, physically. This is just going to be a little introduction that's going to take me about a half an hour probably. But think about it. This is a medical condition, and its psychological effects and emotional effects and, oh, my God, you name it. There's so many things. Think about them. Leprosy is a bacteria that affects the body, and it affects the body at a cellular level, and then it turns the body against itself. Basically, the body starts destroying the body. And there's been people who've been known to lose their ears completely and their nose completely, half of an arm and some toes, you name it, because it starts like a little sore and it starts getting dried up, and it dries up and it becomes whitish and then reddish and pinkish. Next thing you know, boop, your toes fall off and your fingers fall off and things like that. And you can lose a lot of your body like that. So, and it can take up to 30 years, up to 30 years to develop itself. So you think about this. But in months, you could be missing some parts of your body. And we have now medicine to work with that kind of stuff, but they didn't have that 2,000 years ago. Think about the physical problem these guys had. Also, emotionally, I want you to think about that because they were cut off from people. When you had leprosy, immediately you were cast out. You were sent out to a place to hang out with the other lepers. You couldn't touch anybody. You couldn't get near anybody. That meant, where do you live? We come in to pick you up. We're taking out there. You no longer live at that address. Your family's no longer with you. You can't reach them. You can't touch them. You got to see them from a distance. Hello! That's it. That's all you get. You don't get to hug your family. You don't get to kiss your wife or your husband. You don't get to see your kids. You don't get to see anybody. Think about it. You don't get to hold your grandchildren in your arms or anything like that. And now then, also, they were required by law that if they were actually, you know, they would be taken out. That was a law. And when you look at Old Testament, it said the lepers, they had to have their own place apart, but nobody would be near them. But then it says that if they were healed in any way, and actually I think there's only three people in the Old Testament that actually had leprosy that are mentioned in the Bible, and all three were miraculously healed. All three. Moses' sister was one of them, and I can remember the other, and now we have these 10. There are three episodes in the Bible. This is amazing. But you were severed from any human contact, period. You were like the untouchables, the band of untouchables, period. You couldn't get near anybody. And the stench, remember, rotting skin, rotting human flesh. It just became so stinky. It just became so bad. And can you imagine them begging for help and begging for food and things like that? What a trauma psychologically, looking at them, for even people looking at them and smelling them, and for their families. So that's the way it was at the time. And then they identify Jesus. They see him, and they probably have heard from Jesus from the distance, and they start screaming at him and saying, "Hey, please, can you please look at us? Please come this way. Master, have mercy on us." Now, Jesus, in his compassion and in his love, turns and gets close to them. Nobody else would. And then he says, he didn't even say, you know, "What do you want?" or, "Oh, how can I help you?" He actually didn't touch him. Actually, there's another one in the New Testament. I think it's Matthew chapter 8. And I know it's a chapter 8, but there's another leper that Jesus actually touched. But these guys, he didn't even tell them, "You're healed." He didn't touch him. He didn't do anything. All he did was like, "Go to the priest and show yourselves." The only reason why you would go to the priest is if you were healed, because you couldn't get close to the priest. The law indicated that if you were healed, you had to go to the priest, because at the time, the priest was like a health inspector. He would inspect the person. Okay, you can go back to society. The priest was the one who made the determination, you know. And who would want to go there anyway? You know, you think about it. If I know that he's going to cast me out. But it says that they turned around. It turned around, and all of a sudden, it all disappears. Well, you know what happened. And 9 of them didn't come back, but one did. But something happened there, because all 10 of them probably knew enough about Jesus that they obeyed his command to go back to the priests, because all 10 of them went back to the priests, or at least got on their way back to the priest. But only one of them came back to be grateful. So let's see what happens here. Let's just learn something today. First of all, there's a lesson of faith here. There's a lesson of faith. You see, you have to think about this. If you wait until your problems are over to start walking in faith, then you'll miss the power of God in all of your circumstances. You can't wait for for all your problems to be over and to then say, I'm going to walk in faith. You cannot put conditions on God. Have you ever done that? I know I have. That's not properly the proper way of telling God, okay, if you do this, I'll do this. Now, let me tell you something. I did place before God not conditions. And this is the proper way to do it, I would think. You don't place conditions upon him. Say, if you do this, I'll do this. No, I'll do this because you've done so much anyway, right? But in other cases, you may ask God and say, okay, God, if you do this, then I will know that I must do something. For example, when God called me into the ministry, I couldn't believe it. I said, how could he pick a cursing man? Because I used to curse like crazy. Sometimes I'm scared that some curse word's going to come out of me still 20 years later. I'm serious. Because I used to curse up a storm. I didn't care. How could you pick this guy up and make him a preacher? Something's wrong. Honestly, at that point, I did pray this. And I said, God, now I know that you may not be perfect. Because I think you're messing up picking me. Honestly, that's how bad I felt about myself. But a conviction was so strong that I just wanted to make sure. Because I said, I don't want to get into ministry and not know that it is you for sure that called me. This is scary. I'd only been a Christian for 4 months. This is crazy. I thought, this is stupid. How could you call me? There's no way. So I said, okay, God, let's put up some stuff here. Now listen to this. I said, if you allow me to go back to school and finish my degree in some type of ministry, theology or whatever, that might be one clue that you're calling me. Second, I am fully in debt. I owe everybody under a brother right now. I don't want to go into ministry like that because I don't want people to think that I'm there for them to pay my bills. I want to be clear of debt. And third, I have a contract with the military that I still have to fulfill 3 more years. If you get me out of the military and you actually pay my debt and you actually sent me to a seminary, then I will know. I wasn't saying, if you do this, then I will serve you. I wasn't putting conditions to him. I was like, I don't know. Please clear it up for me. And guess what? 6 months later, I get pooped out of the Navy. They put me out. Not even 6 months, actually. It was 2 months later. They told me, you're out, medically. They gave me a check when I got out, and I paid all of my debt. And when I say all of my debt, I'm talking about moving to New Orleans from Jacksonville, Florida, with $400 in my pocket to my account. That was it. But I didn't owe anybody a single penny except my car payment. Nothing. He proved it to me. And then I got accepted into seminary, which I'm still in. 18 years later. I graduated in 2000, but I'm hopefully graduating here pretty soon, too, from my next degree. So, you see, it wasn't like I was saying, if you do this, I will do this. I was saying, if you do this, then I know I'm convicted because I'm not clear. You see, that's another thing. So you have to be careful. But if you think about it, you see, you can't wait for God to solve your problems because at the time, even though my problems weren't solved, I was practically living at the church. The pastor couldn't get away from me. The pastor couldn't shake me off. There was no cell phone. So guess what? I was at the church and at his house every day, pretty much. All I had was a beeper. And he had one too, so I would call him from my house, beep, 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 I'm coming. And say, oh my God, David, again, no. I was serving almost every day of my life. I just couldn't hold it. So I wasn't waiting for my circumstances to change to serve. I was doing it. I was so grateful, and I kept doing it and doing it. And you think about these guys. You see, this guy had no ability to pay back Jesus. He had nothing to offer but except give him thanks. And he came back and said, thank you. You know, this is amazing. And would you follow me? Can you think about it? If Jesus came to you and said, would you follow me despite your depression? Will you trust me that I will do what I say, even to you might be impossible, that I say I can do? Would you still follow me? You see, you can't be telling God, okay, God, if you solve this problem for me, I will go to church, I promise, or give him some conditions like that. Remember that faith without works is dead faith. The Bible says that faith without works is dead. You know what that means? That means not that you earn your salvation through works and faith. That means that because of you've been saved, you do the works in appreciation. That means that you, when you believe God, you will move and you will take action because you actually have believed him. Therefore, you see how many people in our own city, in our country, will claim to believe in Christ and to have faith, but their choices and actions, come on. We can see that all over and around us, even in our own families and all over the place. So we know that what Jesus is looking for is simply, you believe me, then do as I'm telling you. Do something about it. Act in a way that it shows your faith. You see, God is looking for people like Noah. I want you to think about Noah and his faith into action. Did you know that when God told Noah to build the ark, it had not rained once over the earth? Not ever, ever, ever. Not a drop of rain had fallen over the earth, ever. And then he tells them, hey, build the ark because it's going to rain. And Noah's like, what is rain? What is that? Think about it. Never rained. Yet he went out and he built an ark. And he was saved. And the only one who believed that it would actually would rain was the only one that got saved, right? Isn't that amazing? Think about Abraham. God is looking for people like Abraham. God shows up to Abraham and says, hey, pick up your family and get on the road because I'm going to take you somewhere. And he's like, okay, where are we going? Just go. Where are we going? Just walk. Can you imagine? That's the kind of people that God is looking for. Abraham packed up his lunch, packed up his family, and took off, not knowing where he was going. But what about us? Oh, no, if I'm not knowing where I'm going, I'm not moving. I'm not going. Oh, no, you best tell me before we do anything. I'm not doing anything, God, until I know for sure. Guess what? That was part of my lack of faith in my beginnings when I asked God to prove it to me because I was lacking faith. Because I was putting my eyesight in the mirror and looking at myself and saying, you can't do this. You ain't worthy. There's no way. But I wasn't looking at him. And I needed him to prove it to me. And I'm so glad that he did. He had mercy upon me. And he has mercy upon those who believe him. Yes, he does. So it doesn't matter what horrible circumstances you may be in. And some of you may be in a circumstance today that you're thinking, how am I going to get out of this? Well, guess what? What you need to do is trust him. What you need to do is listen to his voice and do whatever he asks you. If you trust him beyond what you can see, you will see new things that he has prepared for you. And you ought to be thankful that we have a God that is so awesome that he can be trusted. Amen? So what is God holding for you? What does God have in store for you? You think about it. You may not know, but you trust him. And he may have healing. He may have a new relationship. He may have so many things that he wants to give you. So trust him. A lesson in faith. So let's think about the next one. Offering thanksgiving. Offer him thanksgiving. Please thank him. Thank him. Thank him. You see, these lepers are limping their way to the priest in obedience because they heard Jesus say, turn around, go to the priest, and show yourselves to him. He did a command, and the Bible reports that they went and they were healed. Now, they were healed before they even got to the priest, of course, because they needed to show him. But notice first that we're not told how this happened. It just happens, right? Can you think about it as you hear him say, whoa, wait a second. I only had 3 toes. I have 5 on my left foot now. Oh, my God, you got an arm. Can you think about what a moment for them when they saw their own skin changing and when they saw their arms or their legs or whatever was missing coming back to life? Oh, my goodness, what a wonderful thing. Reappearing. Throw away those crutches. We don't need them anymore. Restored. Whole. Healthy, complete, skin cleared completely. What a wonderful thing. I don't know how that went down, but you know what? I can imagine the shouts of joy and the jumping around, right? What a party must have that been. And even some of them may have been like that for years. It's too good to be true. I can go home and see my, I can go home and surprise my spouse. I hope she's still waiting for me, you know. I can go see my kids. Oh, my goodness. I can hug them. I can kiss them. I can get no more. I don't have to hide. I don't have to yell and scream for people to help me. I can get close. I can get back home. See, the one leper came back. What was he doing? Well, he was tracking his blessing to the source. See, that's what you need to do. You track your blessings to the source. That's what you do. Jesus asked a rhetorical question, of course, very obvious. In verse 17, were not 10 healed? What happened to the other 9? You see, common decency tells us that when you receive some grace, you are grateful, period, right? But nothing. But Jesus is pointing not to just, well, they didn't even come and thank me. You know, like I feel sometimes, or you may feel sometimes, unappreciated. There's something deeper in the hearts of these lepers that Jesus is pointing to. And it's a tendency of all of us to enjoy the blessing or the gift without worshiping the giver. You know, sometimes we just take so much for granted. We have grown so accustomed to the conveniences of this place that some of the extraordinary things that we enjoy, well, some of the ordinary things that we enjoy are extraordinary to other people, like food, like being able to throw away half a turkey on Saturday or Sunday because you can't stand it anymore, while other people have never seen a turkey or know what that is. You know, I feel so bad. I feel so bad. Maybe that's why I can't lose it, because I can't see anything on the plate without finishing it. I'm serious. It's a bad problem, because I would rather eat something and get stuffed and achy and my blood sugar spike than to put it in the trash. That's not good, but it's not good throwing away either, right? It's just a battle. It's just a battle, but it's the grace that God, that we received here, is so common for us that we feel like we're entitled, right? Have you ever heard that lately? That people are just feel like they're entitled. And it's not a group of people. It's all of us. It's sinful, and we all do the same thing. Sometimes we think like we're entitled to this and that. Oh, no, I'm going to get mine. Oh, no, they better not. Oh, no, they ain't taking that from me. Oh, I earned it, right? We are like that. We are like that. That's what Jesus was pointing out to. You see, a lot of times we just don't see the wonders of what God has made because we're so impressed with the wonders of this world. At a class, a teacher was asking the children, can you tell me what are the 7 wonders of the world? And some of the children were like, the Great Wall of China. Oh, the Taj Mahal. And they started mentioning, you know, like the Rockies, the Colorado, the Grand Canyon. Oh, yeah, okay, and this and that. And then everybody was trying to participate except this little girl that she wouldn't speak. And the teacher was like, okay, so what about you, Angelica? What happened? You don't have anything? You know? And she's like, well, there's so many, I'm trying to think, you know? This would be Angelica anyway, right? Those of you who know her, this would be her at school, right? Well, there's so many, I'm just thinking of so many that I don't know which one, you know, right? And then the teacher says, well, Angelica, let me help you out. Why don't you do something, just kind of mention one or so that you're thinking of so that way we can get together? She's like, well, I was just thinking, you know, like, 7 wonders of the world. Well, my hearing, my smelling, my tasting, my feeling, my laughter, my love. There's so many. That would be Angelica too anyway, right? That would be something like she would say. You'd be like, what? And the teacher was like, it's amazing. You take for granted that you can smell. You take for granted that you can taste. You take for granted your health sometimes and all that you can do and all that you have. But truly, we need to be grateful for all those things. In Psalm chapter 103 or 103, verses 1 through 5, David speaks of these things. He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits." You hear that? Tracking them back to the source. Don't forget any of his benefits. "Who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle." And if you keep reading, you'll see a bunch more. So many things to be thankful for. But he goes back to the source. "Thank you, Lord. We bless you, Lord." And I know that you do that too, right? You're always thanking the blesser for the blessings, right? That's a good exercise. Now, can you imagine if one of those lepers, as he walked away and he got healed, he noticed himself, he's like, "Whoa, I need to thank this Jesus." And on the way back to Jesus to thank him, some of his friends show up. "What? Look at you. Oh, my God. What happened?" It's like, "Bro, this guy, Jesus, you've heard about him. Look at me, man. I'm telling you, I feel weird looking at my fingers. I only have four." And he gets distracted with the blessing and forgets about the source, the one who blessed him. And he just keeps walking. "Well, friends, let's go home then." Forget about it. He was on his way to Jesus, but something distracted him. Can you imagine that? And then you have Jesus, when this leper comes through and he says, "Oh, thank you." He says, "Where are the other nine?" You know what I would think? "Jesus, why you ask that question? You know exactly where they are. They're over by Best Buy standing in line until tomorrow to get that big TV." That's what they're doing. That's what they're doing. See, it's amazing. We've been so blessed that we have forgotten to go back to the one who has blessed us. Even when we go, think about it. We spend all day cooking and making this and that, and their favorite for whom, the favorite for whom, and the favorite for that. And we put all the things together because that's what mama do, right? And then once everything's put together, all at work from all the stuff, then we get together at the table, we pray for 3 minutes, and we stuff ourselves. Thank God. Well, some families may go even further and spend 10 minutes thinking about what are we thankful for, but then somebody has to say, "Okay, food's getting cold, let's go with it." And that's our Thanksgiving right there. And then we watch football, parades. And that's it. That's all we wrote. Then Friday, we have turkey sandwiches. Saturday, we have turkey pot pie. And then Sunday, we just can't get over it anymore. Throw it away. Ed says no. If you have any turkey left over, bring it to him. Gosh, this guy can eat turkey, right? No, he don't like it. But think about it. You see, we have allowed. Okay, I'm going to get a little ahead, but I have to do this. Christmas. Christmas has been ruined. Christmas is ruined. You know what? I've done this so many times, and I ask people, "What is Christmas all about?" And you know what they say? Family. Family. Really? Really? Wow. Christmas is about family. You are so holy. You're so, 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 so good. Oh, my God. Christmas is not about family. It's about Jesus. Goodness gracious, it's his birthday party. Let's quit thinking that Christmas is something it is not. But we have allowed some fat guy dressed in red to distract us. We have allowed family to distract us. We have allowed gifts to distract us, not remembering that the true gift is Jesus Christ. And we have allowed the world to infiltrate our families and our churches, and that's the thinking, unfortunately. Now, Thanksgiving is not different. It's totally lost. Half the people will tell you, "Let's eat quick because they're opening at 6 today." It used to be they open up Friday morning. Now they open up Thursday. You can't even finish cooking it. Actually, you go shopping while the turkey is cooking because the sales are on now. I got an email from Home Depot, pre-Black Friday, only one day, today. Take advantage of it. And I'm like, dude, how many? September, we're already seeing Christmas stuff. We ruin it. And then we think about it. People are just running and eating quick and running the race because they don't want to be interrupted because they have to go to Best Buy and stand for the biggest TV, the latest computer, the coolest tablet, and the smartest phone. I've only done this once on a Black Friday. Only once. That was enough for me. And guess what I got? I got a DVD player at Radio Shack. You know the Radio Shack that was down here by Belmead and where the Bromart is? I went in there and picked up. There was nobody in line. Who would be in line at Radio Shack for a DVD player for $20? It took 20 minutes to load up a CD or a DVD. That was my only experience. I left that Radio Shack running thinking I'm going somewhere else. And then when I saw the lines, I'm like, no, I'm going home to sleep. That was my whole experience with Black Friday. It became very dark Friday when I fell asleep, closed my eyes. So learn from this leper, okay? Learn from the leper next to you. Learn from this leper that we're talking about. Just come back to where you need to be and be a thankful. Offer thanksgiving, a heartfelt thanksgiving to God. Really be have an attitude of gratitude. Sometime this week, stop and deliberately and purposefully consider the goodness of God and dwell on it, okay? Don't rush. Don't rush ahead like the nine lepers. And as soon as they got the blessing, they just kept going and said, thank you. Not even say thank you. You see the second one. Let the measure of his mercy be the measure of your praise. Let the measure of his mercy be the measure of your praise. A lot of times you think about how grateful people are, and you see the videos on YouTube, right, when kids get their gift at Christmas or something, and they go, wow, this is what I dreamed about all my life. And he's 4 years old, right? All of his life he's been dreaming about that. It's amazing. You see, people, when they're thankful, they get loud. Have you thought about that? If you're truly grateful, you're going to get loud once in a while, right? Now, I want you to look at a couple of things here, because when the leper returned, and verses 15 and 16 says that he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him, and he was a Samaritan. Then it says, Jesus answered, where are the other nine? But the nine weren't there. You see, was no one found? And he said with a loud voice, you know, it says that he came back with a loud voice. Verse 15, it says, turn back, glorifying God with a loud voice. You know what the phrase there, loud voice, when he was giving glory to God. Loud means mega. Voice means phone. Megaphone. Have you ever seen a megaphone? We got one downstairs. If you want, I can bring it and we can make it happen here. Glory to God! Those are loud. Those are so loud to get bothersome, right? So this guy is described as a megaphone when he's thanking God. Some of you sound like a silent something thanking God. Oh, getting loud, that's not for people like me. You know, I don't get loud. You see, megaphone. I don't care who hears. I don't care who thinks or whatever they think about me. I don't care if I'm the only one being thankful if the other nine left. I don't care if they're right behind me listening to me. I don't care if they actually come back with me. All I care is that I receive the blessing and I'm going to go to the blesser and I'm going to worship and I'm going to tell them loud, thank you, thank you, thank you. Wow. Now, if you look at Luke chapter 7, verse 47, Jesus said, for this reason I say to you, this is a woman that was at his feet, anointing his feet. And he said, for this reason I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven, for she loved much, but he who is forgiven little loves little. You know what that means? You're forgiven a lot, you love a lot. You're forgiven a little, you love little. And you know what? I don't think Jesus meant that when you're forgiven a little bit and you're forgiven a lot. No, we've all been forgiven a lot, but we consider it little. It's our own thinking that's messed up, stinking thinking, right? That we just don't appreciate and don't make big enough of what God has done for us. Psalm chapter 35, verses 27 and 28 says, "Let them shout for joy and rejoice who favor my vindication. And let them say continually, 'The Lord be magnified who delights in the prosperity of his servant.' And my tongue shall declare your righteousness and your praise all day long." Talk about somebody who's grateful, somebody who's willing to praise him. You see, if you praise God only when the circumstances are good, then there wouldn't be faith at all, right? And we need faith to go together with the thanksgiving. So think about it. Let the measure of his mercy be the measure of your praise. All this screaming and yelling. And why are you so quiet? You have anything to be thankful for? I dare you to be loud right now. Amen. I got a couple of loud ones. The rest of you, did y'all have breakfast? Will you be willing to get loud right now and say something great to God and give him thanks right now? Okay, you're not. All right. How about this? Loving you was so in his heart that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for you. Don't get so loud. Let's just forget about it. I had an exercise. I thought you guys wouldn't get it loud, but I guess not. Let's forget that. Praise the Lord. Are you ready? Amen. Okay, thank you. See how gratitude is tied to saving faith. I want you to see this to finish. Saving faith is so tied to gratefulness. Gratitude is so tied to saving faith. There are two words that is used to describe the lepers. In verse 15, we see the word healed. See, they were healed, right? Or they had been healed, says verse 15. Now, this is a word that is kind of like physical. It means you've recouped physically, or healing of the body, right? Mended, whole, you've been cured, okay? And there's another medical term here in verse 17. Now remember that the guy who's writing this gospel is Luke, and he is actually a medical doctor. So he uses the word healed in verse 15, meaning your body has been healed. But then in verse 17, he says, "Were not 10 cleansed?" He uses the word cleanse here as Jesus is speaking. You know, Jesus uses the word. And this has a different dimension. This has a dimension of wellness, not only physical, but also like socially, that you've been, you know, you're no longer an outcast in the world. You're no longer out there defiled and where nobody can get, you know, ceremonially unclean. And you've been, it's not just physically, but also emotionally and socially and everything else. You've been made well. And then he says, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." That's another thing. So he said healed, cleansed, and the third one was well. Now I want you to think of the word well, because this is very important. The word for well is the word sozo. Sozo. Not like so-so, but sozo. Okay, and what does that mean? It means saved, rescued from danger. Saved or rescued from danger. So he was physically healed. And then he was also, from social and being an outcast, he was cleansed. And then third, he was made well, meaning you've been rescued, meaning you've been saved, meaning you've been forgiven, meaning there's a faith transformation in your life. And it actually, Matthew uses the same word, the word sozo, when he talks about Jesus and his naming at the beginning. He told Joseph, the angel told Joseph, name the baby Jesus, because he will what? He will save his people. He will sozo. his people. He will rescue them. This is also the word that the Apostle Paul uses later on in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, where it says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be sozo. You will be saved. Wow. So this guy didn't know that his gratitude was so connected to his faith. How's that connecting for you? How is your faith and your gratitude connecting? You see, this is amazing. Here comes a guy and finds the healer that gave him the healing. He found the rescuer that rescued him. He found the savior that saved him. You see, you could be saved, you could be rescued, and you could be healed. But have you sought out your healer and your rescuer and your savior? He falls at his face and he starts praising him like a megaphone. What an amazing thing. See, gratitude is not only part of your worship, but it's also part, an essential part of your faith. So, you need to remember the day when all the dots connected in your life and you came to saving faith, if you did, and honestly start being thankful for that and see how gratitude is connected to your saving faith. When this guy met Christ, he had two fatal conditions. One was leprosy of the body, and the other one was the leprosy of the soul, sin. But now he is well, and not just of the body, but of his soul. He's been healed. And the same Jesus that healed the lepers, he's here today, and he's here for us every single day. How could we not be thankful for a God that is ever present, willing to heal, willing to cleanse, and willing to make your life complete in him?
Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presented a message for your life. If this message has been an impact to your life, or you would like more information of previous sermons and information about our church, contact us at www.horebnola.com.